It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. This is the home of the game.
Patriots!
And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Good job on the offensive line. With some changes there. Backs did a hell of a job running the ball. They could not tackle you guys. To another 250 yards on the ground. Receivers blocking, backs running, line blocking. I mean, you know, did a lot of good things there.
Defensively, turn the ball over, you know, scored on defense.
Complimentary football. Score, kick off, tackle them inside the 10, get a holding or get a block and a back penalty, strip sack for a touchdown. That's what I'm talking about, complimentary football. All right, all three units working together. Well, that was a good week. All right, we need another good week here going to Kansas City. We need our best game, okay? We haven't had it yet. We need it. It's time to come through.
You can't take anything for granted, fellas. No day for granted.
There's no call on the central.
Rexford and Co.
Yeah!
Toting the Ville. Okay, I like when we told the Ville. So how do we feel about victory number two?
Oh!
Yeah! 98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, and that was the scene. In the locker room.
How do we feel about our second victory? To be completely literal. How do we feel?
Will Brinson, of course, is a senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. He also hosts the Daily Pick 6 podcast. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Brinson, hello.
What's going on, fellas? Happy whatever today is, Tuesday. Sure,
that's right. It was a shock to me as well. All right, so we were having a debate about N'Keal Harry and how he's going to be as a receiver, and no one loves N'Keal Harry more than you. As you watched him right there where you live, he was playing over there at NC State. No,
he played at Arizona State.
Oh, Arizona yeah. State. I'm sorry, N'Keal Harry.
Close enough.
Who did you love?
Arizona.
Who did you love? Who's the guy that you love?
Jacoby Myers did the state.
Oh, Jacoby Myers is the guy you love. Yeah. All right, anyway, so N'Keal Harry, I apologize, I got him confused. So N'Keal Harry, by the way, from Arizona State, big lug.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we were talking about him and what he's going to bring as, you know, he's struggled and he's had injuries and things of that nature. What do you think about him when you look at the NFL?
Well, I mean, I think it's tough for N'Keal Harry because he's in a wide receiver class. Like, he was taken as the second wide receiver overall. Marquise Brown, the only guy ahead of him. And then immediately after, you know, you basically have Deebo Samuel, A.J. Brown, and D.K. Metcalf, Terry McLaurin. I mean, it's a pretty ridiculous group of wide receivers. And of all the people who drafted wide receivers from the Seahawks to the Titans, even Washington, maybe not Washington, but like no one needed an impact wide receiver more than the Patriots last year and now this year. And I mean, for me, it's tough to get past the fact that Deebo Samuel, who's been hurt this year, but was awesome for the 49ers last year, would have been so perfect in a Bill Belichick system. And the idea that he passed on him for Harry is, you know, I think makes it tough. But look, I mean, he's in year two. I mean, you know, we used to wait until the third year before we really started expecting wide receivers to break out and judging them and all of that. He missed half of last season with an injury and, you know, had to pick up a complex offense with a demanding veteran quarterback, and now is working with the second quarterback. So, I mean, I think it's probably too early to judge, but, yeah, I mean, I like him as a player. I assume Patriots fans despise him because he's not DK Metcalf.
Well, he's not good.
I don't think they despise him. I think right now things are turning a little bit because he's being used. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, Cam Newton is doing everything he can to get him involved in the offense, and I think that's encouraging. And as a matter of fact, and Fred and I disagree, but it doesn't mean that I don't think that someday he might end up being a bust, but right now I just think we've only got 10 games of evidence, so you can't really figure it out. I do like the fact, though, that Cam is supportive of the guy and doing anything he can to try to get this guy going.
Yeah, I agree completely. And you can't call him a bust right now. Like, he has not played enough football. He's not played enough football for the Patriots to call him a bust. You just can't.
He was not worthy of the time where he was picked. I think we can say that.
I mean, we don't know that. I mean, I think it's too early.
Okay. Well, I know what I know, and what I've seen, I know. So you don't know. The proper way to say it would be like, I don't know, he could get better, but I can say I know what I've seen, and well, it is what it is.
You said earlier, that's it, he's a bust, he's never going to be worthy of this.
No, he's never going to be a number one receiver.
It's not like he was taken like with a top five overall pick. I mean, he was taken at the back end of the first round.
No, but if you use a first round pick on a wide receiver, you want them to contribute a great deal to your offense.
Certainly, yeah. The expectation would be that you would be a number one receiver.
Yeah, but see, I tend to disagree. I think if you're taking even in the first round, even if you're taking it at the back in the first round, like, the expectation shouldn't be that you come in right away and be a dominant number one wide receiver out of the box. Like, that to me is asking too much, and especially if the guy deals with
injuries. I didn't ask him to dominate. I asked to contribute.
He missed half a season in a Tom Brady offense where, you know, Brady only throws to guys he trusts. You know, he came back late. Look, he hadn't been good. I mean, he hadn't been good or great. I mean, I'm not trying to justify the guy. I just think it's like, I'm going to wait 3 years, 3 full years before I like sit down and say, this guy is a bust and the worst wide receiver in football. I mean, after 1 year, I mean, this is a different position. Look at the 2014 draft, right? After the first year, it's like, can you believe they let Odell Beckham slide? Like, you know, like, and then it's like, oh, Kelvin Benjamin's good. Brandon Cooks is pretty good. I mean, like, these things change over time. And, you know, yes, right now, I mean, look, if you went back and did it over again, the Patriots are not passing on Deebo Samuel or DK Metcalf or Terry McLaurin to draft and kill Harry. I mean, with the benefit of hindsight, they wouldn't do that. But if those guys didn't exist and you were just looking at Enkeel Harry in a vacuum, you would be disappointed with his production. But I don't think everyone would be outraged with what had happened given the injury and all that.
Well, as a Jets fan, I think that I can speak of I think I'm an expert in disappointing draft picks.
Enkeel Harry would be the clear-cut number one for Barrios.
Barrios, baby.
By the way, do you know something we don't know? Because you continue to call him Enkeel Harry, and I've always thought it was N'Keal Harry.
Well, I pronounce everybody's name wrong, so probably not.
Okay. we've been all wrong, and you know something that we don't know.
I'm trying to pull a Steve Levy on you. I don't know if you heard about Clyde Edwards Elair. God almighty, man.
All right, so
well, speaking real quick,
with another run.
Speaking of that game last night, I mean, first of all, just what Patrick Mahomes does is stupid, and that's not saying anything out of school, but I mean, you know, between him and Russell Wilson, they have a gift at making really good secondaries look just incompetent. And, you know, this has been a rough couple of weeks for Stephon Gilmore. We've talked about this a little bit. You know, he's still obviously very good, but I mean, he has, you know, they're targeting him now, which we're not used to. He's had, you know what, he only had one pass interference penalty last year, and he's had three already in his first 3 weeks. So how do you think this is going to look this coming weekend when you've got, you know, just a magician out there throwing it, and you saw what, you know, DK Metcalf did as well, you know, against the Patriots? How do you think that's all going to work out?
Yeah, it'd be interesting, because I don't know that Gilmore I mean, the Chiefs are so totally different from a personnel perspective than the Seahawks, right? I mean, and maybe not as much the Raiders. Like, I would assume that Gilmore might even, like, shift inside and cover, or, you know, depending on where Travis Kelce lines up, because he's lined up in the slot so much that he would sort of, I know Gilmore's not going to travel and follow Kelce, I don't think, but I would be very surprised if Gilmore is just locked onto Tyreek Hill the whole time. I mean, that's not exactly, you know, a matchup that's good for anybody. And I don't know if it entirely fits his skill set, but maybe he does. It hadn't been a great start to the season for him, but there's, you know, I don't know if I would call him a bust yet, Fred.
I didn't say he was a bust. It just Rich said, well, we all know that he's good. And I said, I don't know that he's good. He hasn't done anything well.
Well, we know he's good. I mean, he was the defensive player of the year last year.
Yeah, he just hasn't played well.
Not having a very good beginning of the season.
Not having a great start of the season. I would guess that Andy Reid is not going to be like, oh, Stephon Gilmore's playing poorly. Let's attack him.
Wait, hang on one second, because it seems, and John, you'll agree, it seems like teams have.
Yes.
They have been attacking.
Ryan Fitzpatrick was targeting him in week one. You saw what Russell Wilson did. Russell Wilson may be an outlier because he's one of the best two quarterbacks on the planet right now.
Right. But here's what I would say is that if you look at the three offenses you're talking about, how many weapons do they collectively have? Like four, right? Devontae Parker, if you want to give me Preston Williams, that'll be five. But, I mean, like Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, and then Darren Waller, right? Because I think Henry Ruggs is all banged up. I mean, this is...
But ultimately, if you're the NFL Defensive Player of the Year, there should be some trepidation. I mean, you should, especially if you're a quarterback, should you not be able to be out on an island and take away half the field?
Yeah, I mean, what I'm saying is that I don't think, like, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes will shy away from targeting him. I think they'll... But a good example, last night, you know, there was a great breakdown that Ryan Clark did in the postgame on SVP Sports Center, where he's pointed out that they attacked Marcus Peters by playing with his eyes, and like they basically played on his aggression, knowing he was going to try and jump a route, and then they went up top on that Mecole Hardman touchdown. Like, I think that they will play to Stephon Gilmore's weaknesses. Like, if they can get Gilmore lined up against Tyreek Hill and in single coverage, then yeah, they'll take a shot. But I think they have so many different weapons, they're not going to – it's not like, you know, okay, Russell Wilson has to throw to DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett. Like, they have way more weapons than just those two, like, two wide receivers. I mean, and so my point is that they're not going to be like, let's go target Stephon Gilmore and just humiliate him in front of millions of people and his family and, like, just make him look terrible. Yeah, like, they're gonna do what's best for their offense, and that might involve shifting away from Gilmore. But the problem for the Patriots defensively over the bigger perspective with Gilmore is that the whole point of having that lockdown corner and how Belichick succeeded with, you know, we had it with Revis and Gilmore, et cetera, is that he wants to take away, as everybody knows, what you do best. And if his singular attack on the defense in terms of that shutdown corner isn't shutting down the best option, then all of a sudden the Patriots defense is in a lot more trouble because, you know, they're going to leak on that end, and they can't focus multiple pieces on the rest of your defense. So, I mean, it's a trickle-down effect that hurts them across the board, basically.
All right, well, Brinson, quickly, Buffalo Bills, what are we thinking?
I mean, Josh Allen is an MVP candidate. I mean, he just is. He's playing really well. They have a very balanced team. I think if you're looking at if you're trying to pick out a team that, because nobody's playing any defense right now. I mean, like, nobody. If you're trying to pick out a team that might progress as a defense, I think the Bills are one, and that should be concerning for Patriots fans.
You like them to win the division, Buffalo, over there?
No, yeah. I'll still take New England, but, I mean, you know, Buffalo looks pretty good out of the gate.
All right. Well, there you go. Will Brinson, you can read him at cbssports.com or see the Pick 6 podcast. Go ahead and listen to that bad boy. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
You guys got it. See ya.
As always, a pleasure. We will return.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Turn in just a moment. Five to Sports over Toucher and Rich. You can watch us on Twitch over there at twitch.tv. You can subscribe to the Sports Hub like I do. Make it happen in that sense. You can also get the 98.5 the Sports Hub app. It has all the podcasts. It has all of the shows streaming. It's got everything, baby. It's got articles. It's got the whole nine. I have the 98.5 the Sports Hub app. I feel very futuristic when I click on it and I go, oh, let me listen to our show all over again. It wasn't enough just to be on it. I have to listen to all of it. All right, Rich, what's going on?
I shouldn't be shocked by this, but I am, because it makes complete and total sense why they did this. I just never thought they'd pull the trigger. When they announced yesterday that Doc Rivers is out in Los Angeles, I can't believe that Ballmer did that. But, I mean, think about this. Ever since they brought in Doc Rivers, what was it, 2011, John? Like, right around
7, 8 years now.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. So, like, 2011, 2012. Like, from the moment Doc Rivers showed up there, that team had championship expectations. I mean, from the Chris Paul years to the dude who looks like Randy the Puppet from the Pee-wee's Playhouse, Blake Griffin. And then you've got what happened this year, and they haven't even reached the conference finals while Doc Rivers was there. And unfortunately, his legacy there is one of just blowing big series leads, with their loss this month to the Nuggets being the second time the Clippers lost a playoff series in which they led 3-1 while Doc was there. And that's not even counting the games where or the series that they were up 3-2.
Hey, Rich, they won 3 playoff series total in 7 years that Doc
that's
was there.
Just, John, think of the talent that has gone through that organization while Doc Rivers is there. Remember, the whole reason he left the Celtics is because he did not want to be part of a team that was rebuilding. He wanted a team that was ready to win now. So he was there for these 8 years and had, you know, all the expectations of the world and kept getting a free pass. And I just thought he was perpetually going to be one of those guys that it's like, oh, he'll get it eventually. But good on Steve Ballmer. And I love Doc Rivers, and I root for him to succeed. I think he's a good guy, and obviously, you know, I liked him when he was here. But good on Ballmer looking past all of that. Now, here's what he stuck with, however. He stuck with a team that, from everything I've read, one of the reasons that Kawhi Leonard wanted to come to the Clippers was because of Doc Rivers. Players love playing for Doc Rivers. Now, it's obviously not working. Everything we heard from that locker room when he left was, well, you know, this. We didn't look at this. I think it was Paul George who straight up said, we didn't look at this year as a do or die season. Like, we didn't think that we had to win. It was championship championship or bust. I mean, to say those words, you might feel that way, but to actually be part of a culture where it's okay to say those words to the press, I mean, that's an indictment on Doc Rivers right from the beginning. So for them to go in and do this, I think was huge. But now, of course, it's who's going to get Doc Rivers. It's the big wheel of who goes where, who's going to end up going to the Clippers. And the name I always hear is, let's bring in Ty Lue. Ty Lue is just the most phone it in. We just want to have somebody who might not even be a good coach, but just that the players won't bitch about.
No, the words you're looking for anything. Is figurehead. He's the guy who's the head coach when the players are in the organization. Yes. No,
he's the guy that's the quote-unquote head coach when there's a player on the team who is the real head coach. Mm-hmm. And that would be Kawhi Leonard. He's like he's the stand-in who's there. It's like, whatever you say, Kawhi, all right. It's like that little dog in the cartoon. Whatever you say, Kawhi, Kawhi, sure, Kawhi. Whatever you want, Kawhi. But in this case, Doc Rivers is now looking for a home, and the best rumor that I've heard so far is the 76ers. Because how unbelievable would it be if he came in here? If you couldn't get that crew to work and gel together and to become like a cohesive unit, how the hell is he going to make things work in Philadelphia?
Honest to God, I hope he doesn't go to the 76ers, because I think he, more than a lot of other head coaches, will reach Joel Embiid.
That's what
and
people
get
are
him,
saying.
Force him to get into shape. And I think he would get Simmons and Embiid to play together. Al Horford would be more than happy to have Doc there. I think Doc is such a good, a much better head coach than Brett Brown. I don't want Doc Rivers on the 76ers.
Why
I think they'll play much better with him there.
Then explain Paul George this season.
I can't. I have no idea what happened to Paul George. I don't know. I don't know, but I do know that Doc would be able to reach some of the problems and fix some of the problems the Sixers have. I think that he would fix the problems in the locker room. I think he would get Embiid and Simmons to play together, and Al Horford would be the glue guy he was supposed to be when he went there. And they'd be a much tougher team to play once Doc showed up. And as far as the Clippers are concerned, Chris Mannix had the best idea for the Clippers. The Clippers have 1 year left before Kawhi and Paul George opt out. Because you're right, Kawhi Leonard went to L.A., A, because Paul George, they promised him they'd acquire Paul George, but the other is because he liked Doc Rivers. So Doc is out of there. Kawhi and George are going to opt out after next season. Chris Mannix had a fantastic idea, and I don't even know if he'd do this, but if I'm Steve Ballmer, the first call I make is to Phil Jackson, who has shown a great ability to get very good, to get talented people to work together.
Get them to meditate.
It didn't work with the Knicks.
Well, the Knicks didn't have anybody. The Clippers do.
Wasn't Phil Jackson there when it was Carmelo, at the time Stoudemire, who was still a star?
No.
And who was the other? Wasn't he there at
they
that point?
Porzingis was there too. But yeah. But Porzingis was perpetually hurt. And we all know the deal with Carmelo Anthony. You can't include him in this conversation.
They had a decent amount of talent while Phil Jackson was there. They're always sucked.
No, not nearly as good as what he would walk in and have with the Clippers. They had a much more talented team. And one thing we do know about Phil Jackson, he's able to take a bunch of egos, get them to work together, and win a championship.
He would do
Phil,
it.
Phil he has a... Yeah, Phil, well, maybe he wouldn't, but I would call him.
You know what would be funny? What if, and this would never work, what if Ballmer tried to get Popovich and reunite him with Kawhi Leonard? Because those two like hated each other at the end, right?
Yeah,
but they won together.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, he kind of helped make Kawhi Leonard who he is.
Yeah, but Kawhi, I don't think there's any going back to that.
But that would be fantastic.
Popovich is the best head coach of this generation, but I don't think they'd go back to that. No.
I mean, if you brought him in, that would be phenomenal. I saw that story yesterday, and I just thought that Doc Rivers was Teflon, and good on Ballmer for going enough is enough, because if that was anybody else but Doc, they would have been gone years ago. The way that they handed him all the talent in the world. Jeff Van Gundy's another name, by the way, they're tossing around to put in there. Which, I mean, Jeff Van Gundy's, you know, fine as a guy on TV. Matter of fact, I like him as a guy on TV. I think he brings Stan back in there. Let him just, you know, sweat up the place.
Bring them both in. Have one be the head coach, one be the assistant. That'd be great.
Just the Van Gundy brothers.
Yes.
Sure, why not get him in there? Well, in the meantime, I don't know if you saw this story as well, and this is crazy. Did you guys see about a week or 2 weeks ago, there was a picture that had gone viral of a guy that looked just like Delonte West,
yes.
with a sign on the side of the road, asking just for change? That was Delonte West. That was really him in like North Dallas. And apparently, yesterday, Mark Cuban met up with him at a gas station and said, "I gotcha." And got him a place to stay, and apparently is going to pay for all of his treatment and his rehab. I mean, like, according to Mark Cuban, when he saw him, he said it was just like it was crushing. And I know that this is something that Cuban's tried to help him out before, because remember, you know, after here, I don't know if it was immediately after here. No, it was here. Delonte was here, and then he went to the Cavs, right, to play with LeBron, and then he went to the Mavericks, I think, after that. But, I mean, there was times where, you know, he was making money with the Mavericks, but for some reason, he would be sleeping like in the locker room of their facility.
I thought that was Cleveland. He was doing that at the Q at the Quicken Loans Arena.
You see, for some reason, I thought it was at American Airlines.
Cleveland, way, he also got pulled over. He was on a motorcycle carrying guns in a violin case. Remember?
Yeah, like a guitar case full of guns, Desperado. Yeah.
Did you see when they hooked up the fat kid from the Mighty Ducks? Did you see what the fat kid from the Mighty Ducks looked like before he got sober?
You mean the goaltender, that kid?
I mean, he's sober now, but or at least he was the last time I saw him. Saw him online, obviously. But the transformation from the fat kid into what he was when he was a meth addict to what he is now, he looked like he was 90 years old. And he's probably 45. And he looked like he was 90 years old, obviously on the verge of death. I've never seen a drug addict look that bad. And it wasn't even like missing teeth bad. It was he looked like a caricature of a drug addict. I mean, his face had completely shrunken in. Oh, it's really disturbing. But then it's amazing. I mean, you know, Delonte West, if he obviously has severe mental problems.
Yep.
But if they get him medicated, and I mean, this isn't, you know, a 30-day stay. I mean, this is a guy who's going to need a lifetime of a great deal of support.
And you're right. In the past, Doc Rivers has tried to help him. I know Jameer Nelson tried to help him at one point. I think that there were some even members of the Celtics organization that tried to help him. I mean, it's obviously a crazy. It's a sad case. Everything he's been going through. But it sounds to me that what Mark Cuban is doing is like, all right, we're in this for the long haul. We're going to help out this guy.
So no one can do anything to help him except himself. So if he agrees and sticks with it, then there's a chance that he can lead a much more enjoyable life than being homeless. But ultimately, there's nothing that Cuban can do to ensure that happening. So good for Cuban. If Delonte West, it's going to be a lifetime of very intensive therapy and medications and everything else. But if Delonte stays with it, God bless. Hopefully, he gets on the right meds and can kind of check himself and realize where he's at. But again, these things can fly apart and, it's really not anyone's fault. I mean, if he goes back and ends up where he was, because it is what it is.
Delonte was the best. I loved it when he was here. I mean, obviously, he was energy and everything, but,
you
like
that
random
he banged
videos
to LeBron's mom. You liked all that.
There's that, that rumor, which was fantastic, but then there was the, random video you get from him just rapping in the parking lot of Chipotle, doing an entire song about Chipotle. He made, like, a rap album, too, which was just weird.
Song.
It was weird?
That one song.
I mean, I think this is it right here.
Yeah, I like that right there. That makes me feel magnificent. You feel me?
Yeah. But it started off normal.
Congratulations, baby girl. Your patience pay off. Now you may off. Like may off. May, you got laid off. And I'm higher.
All right, he's not one of the top 50 best MCs of all time.
No, but then it just all of a sudden would turn into the sound of the ocean for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, he's a man with severe... I mean, listen.
All you gotta be is a man. No, Lord, they wanna give you everything when you're a man. I don't know about that male thing.
I like that D.
I mean, Brian Wilson was able to take his mental illness and put it into beautiful art, some people say. Even though Pet Sounds to me is like a small needle stabbing my brain.
I have not heard that album in years.
It's got the best cover, though.
But then feeding the animals, yeah. Hang on, but Pet Sounds had like some of like their best songs.
Yeah, but
right?
I just don't like those songs. Like, and I hate listening to it. But
wouldn't it be nice? Is a great song.
I just don't like it. It just doesn't. It doesn't hit me right.
God Only Knows, Sloop John B. Those are all great songs.
I understand, and you are in the vast majority of people that enjoy those. But those are not for me. I listen to it on headphones, and it has a visceral feeling in my brain, a physical feeling of my hatred of it. But I do like all classic albums. It looks like a K-Tel record.
It does.
When you,
or like a
they
book
put
on record.
Zero thought into the
Pet Sounds. It's Us with Pets.
It's like wherever they could wrangle Brian Wilson to stand for 2 seconds is where they had the. They just brought like a yak up to the studio and said, "Here it is." All right. One thing that I want to do in the stack is that Billboard has ranked the top 10 rappers of all time.
Okay, I won't look because I am a rap expert.
It is a who's who.
Right.
Especially when they jammed a female in there and just
Shifty Shell Shock. I'm going Shifty Shell Shock from Crazy Town at number one.
Yes, Young Black Teenagers. There's going to be a little infighting because only two of their collective were put on there. All right, Rich, what else will we talk about?
SNL has revealed how the COVID-19 era live audience will work. We got more details on that.
Oh, I hope it's inventive. I'm glad they found a warehouse space to do the show because... I mean, Lord knows, 30 Rock would have been an impossibility. What a bunch of phony, preening pricks. Do the show or don't do it, stupid. No one cares. Oh, we couldn't do it at 30 Rock. Oh, my ass, you couldn't do it. You got all the money in the world, stupid. You could test the guys 5 times a show. Give me a break. I understand not having an audience. That's illegal in New York, and I understand it. Don't give me you need it. We have to get a warehouse. Dumb mass jokes. It's just awful. Screw you. If you're going to come back, do it normal. With no audience then. But you know what, Rich? I have... me has a feeling. If Paul McCartney meanders his way over to the old set, they're letting him on.
It might be the case.
I mean, Jesus. Can you cram more like guys that had the last movie 50 years ago... make a dumb appearance for the worst part of the show, which is the cold open? It's always terrible. Oh, Larry David, he sounds just like Bernie Sanders. Yeah, it's hysterical, his voice. Ugh. They look the same.
Fred, I'm tweeting out a video that you and Wallach have to watch during the commercial break.
All right, I'll watch it. I got to put together my list of MCs. I have a lot to do.
At Toucher and Rich.
All right, on Twitter, and there you go. We'll have that. All right, we'll be right.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're touching and Rich. Nothing more relevant than Billboard magazine nowadays, as the sales of records and singles are very exciting. Not as exciting as John's Reads, though.
I know. I understand. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale, Fred. They bring us the stack each and every day. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Check them out at windownation.com.
All right. We have much to get to, including the video at Toucher and Rich that Rich tweeted out, which is of no surprise to me whatsoever. The only surprise is that one of the gentlemen was actually there. And way to shell out to get them in the bubble, stupids. All right. They're just...
They're in a luxury suite.
Right.
In the Tampa Bay building.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's just... I mean, they're in the Stanley Cup Finals. All right, here we go. So, Billboard magazine did the 10 best rappers of all time. Now, this is not based on record sales.
Okay,
this is just integrity? This is the 10 best rappers of all time that they... Not integrity, necessarily, just the best rappers, the best people that have ever rapped. Okay. They're the most skilled wordsmiths that they have taken the art form, the poetry of the streets, and turned it into I have my top 10.
Okay,
but I will read you... First of all, let me read you the Billboard top 10.
Okay.
All right, number 10 is Lil Wayne. That's ridiculous. Lil Wayne is not a good rapper. Number 9 is Kendrick Lamar, which is... He's a very gifted MC, but does he have the longevity, John and Rich? I don't know. Ghostface Killer is number 8, a very gifted MC, but not the best even in the Wu-Tang Clan.
Who's the best?
We'll find out soon enough. What do you want me to spoil everything? Lauryn Hill at number 7, because they just said, hey, female... Someone with a vagina.
All is she a rapper? I don't know. I know she sings.
She had a very popular album, and then I don't know anything that she's done since then, but that is...
her biggest song is a cover.
I think that the idea there was to get people to talk about it.
Okay.
Andre 3000 is number 6, although I love Outkast. Andre 3000 is in the best MC in that group.
You think that Big Boy's better?
He's a better wordplay, yes. Nas at number 5, of course. Rakim at number 4, very low.
John, very happy about that one.
Eminem at number 3, low. Jay-Z at number 2, PU. Jay-Z will admit himself he's not a top 10 rapper. And
Notorious hang on, number 1
is Deion Sanders. Someone sent me a video, by the way, from a Barstool where they have him, and he's, like, enjoying rapping, which he ignored while you were...
Such a fraud, that's why. That guy is such a flying fraud with that. It's like he's like, no, Mr. No, I'm not into that stuff like that. And then all of a sudden somebody pays him. He's like, I'll dance, I'll sing, I'll do all the rap songs, I'll do all this stuff.
You have to even wonder if he's even scooping up the women with the biggest butts anymore.
No, I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, listen, everyone loves that song. Dion's the man when it comes to that. I can't believe he wouldn't even talk about any of that stuff. He's like, I don't like people being... That's disrespectful. I'm like, dude, they're your lyrics, man. What are you talking about?
Especially if you're... I mean, if a lady's walking around with a big butt? I mean, sometimes women, you know, want to meet a man. But, you know, sometimes they have the genetic imperative to procreate.
Scooping up the ladies with the biggest butts. By the way, this is something... interesting that I had not seen. As a matter of fact, I thought this was just rumor, and then I read about it in the New York Post. So this is from about a month ago in the New York Post, and the title of it, this is regarding Doc Rivers and his end of his time and with the Clippers. And the title of the article is "Bitch: The Love Triangle Behind Paul George's Rock Bottom Playoff Moment." that it's already the best series, the first round of the NBA playoff games, but in case you need another reason to tune into the Clippers-Mavericks battle, there's a whole lot of personal baggage attached to this matchup. And it didn't take long for that baggage to resurface on Sunday after a clash between Clippers forward Paul George and Mavericks guard Seth Curry. Curry, who is the youngest brother for the Golden State Warriors, Steph Curry, drove to the hoop early in the fourth quarter of Dallas's overtime win, drew a foul from George, and hit the layup. He turned to George and called him a bitch before walking to the line and hitting a bonus free throw. It's at this point the internet was quick to remind us that Curry is married to Callie Rivers, who George once dated. It is one part of what has been a miserable postseason from George after a stellar game one against the Mavericks. He's been blah, blah, blah. Rivers, who is the daughter of Clippers coach Doc Rivers, ended her relationship with Paul George after he allegedly cheated on her with a stripper while in Miami. George saw the stripper, Daniela Rajic, for several months. They had a child together. He had a paternity test and was found to be the father, but objected to having a relationship with his daughter, prompting her to take him to court. They settled and then later began seeing each other once again and had a second daughter. They're now in a full-blown relationship. Rivers, meantime, hooked up with Curry, who played college basketball at Duke University with her brother Austin. They were married last year and have a daughter of their own. Now we have no reason to believe Sunday's clash was anything more than just one pumped-up basketballer trash talking to another basketballer. And if Doc Rivers can move on and be happy to coach a player who once allegedly cheated on his daughter, then perhaps we all should move on too.
What a mess.
So,
oh, George, Jesus.
But hang on, but the timing of this, was he already a member of the Clippers when all this happened?
Sounds like it.
Because they had like a kid and they're living together. I mean, it almost seems like, I mean, it must have happened right when Doc Rivers was signed to the team, or not Doc Rivers, Paul George was. Yeah. I mean, that's all pretty quick. So, because that's on him then. That's on all of them. If like he signed with, like, I mean, if he couldn't get along with Doc Rivers, then, you know, why'd you sign with the team? But maybe that's not the case. Whether that has anything to do with what's going on there, who knows? Just an interesting little tidbit of something was thrown out there. That video, by the way, that I posted, if you go to @TutcherAndRich, is of the call that we had played for Tampa Bay winning it all, which is this right here.
Klingberg shoots, blocked, it's out of the zone, into the neutral zone, 8 seconds left. Barkley Goodrow after it. Shoots wide right of the open net. Time ticks down. The Lightning with the Stanley Cup. They have reached the top of the mountain. They are the Stanley Cup champs.
Wow. So all I can say is wow.
He might not move in that clip.
No, not a no. Flinch.
He hates Michigan. He's like, why are we not there?
It's insanity. I can't believe that they didn't have them go to the bubble for the Stanley Cup Finals. Like, they're not even there for the celebration. They're just watching it on TV like everyone else. Isn't that insane?
That they didn't go to the Stanley Cup Finals? No, that's not insane. It's because nobody was, like, that wasn't with anybody. I mean, first of all, their family couldn't even go to the bubble. Up there. I mean, there's the whole America-Canada thing going on, you know, so that was an issue. So with, I kind of didn't figure they would be there for that.
I don't know. It seems
put it this way, if the Celtics made it, I don't think Grandy and Max would have gone to the bubble.
I still think, I contend that you got to be there, or it doesn't count.
I mean, heck, what, Doc Emmerich's not even there. Doc Emmerich's at home.
Yeah, you should have seen the studio they gave Doc in his house. It was impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't there? That's crazy.
No.
Doc, and he sounded great, too. But no, you're right. His setup is pretty amazing. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It seems like if your team's going to win the cup, you best be there.
But did I miss it? Who was the number one rapper on the list?
I didn't. I'm putting it right now on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
I was cut off.
Okay.
But that is not a problem. I am putting it on
Instagram. Who was the number one rapper? Wasn't it?
Before he came out.
Hey, where is it? Is it this right here? It was this guy.
Maybe this is corny, but you should peel your ears and be ready to adhere to the next word you're going to hear.
It's Trevor Bauer.
Trevor Bauer paid. You know how much he probably paid to have that made, too? Is he probably just ate studio time and everything else?
I was beaten up in school. I was bullied, called a fool. Now I got slobber on my feet because all the females want to drool.
Okay.
Well, where did you go to school where all these females were drooling? It doesn't speak much of your education.
By the way, Fred, it looks like SNL has said, you know what? Maybe you're right, Fred. Maybe they were listening to you. And they're actually going to do their first show back at Studio 8H.
Oh, they somehow figured it out. Mm-hmm. Well. It's almost like we've been in studio for a long time. They figured it out. Well, congratulations. Thank God that we are back to a sense of normalcy. They're not searching for some. I swear to God, they don't know what they think they're so important, Hollywood. They just think they're so important that we have to set an example. Screw you. Do the show or don't do it. No one cares. And if you're going to do it, do it from the stupid 30 Rock. Stop trying to make it sound like it's cold fusion. A lot of people are back at work. If you can't be back at work, that sucks. And God bless you, stay healthy. But for people that can, they're back. Who are you trying to prove it to now? Stupids.
By the way, not on the list for your rappers?
I love selling blood!
No, but I put my list of the top 10 rappers of all time on Instagram, at Fred Toucher. At Fred Toucher, I am a huge influencer, and I will tell you this. At number 11, Pitbull.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yeah. No KRS. So you know I don't shoot no pistol. So no Chuck D, no KRS-One. We're leaving that
off the list. KRS-One sucks. Okay. I have no idea the love for KRS-One. By the way, the new Public Enemy album is legitimately good.
Okay.
And not like...
Is Flavor Flav with them? Because I thought they split.
They did, but they said it was a publicity stunt, which it wasn't.
But no Chuck D on this list.
No, Chuck D's. They can't have Public Enemy without Chuck D.
No, I was on the list that you mentioned.
Chuck D's not a great
rapper.
What
about Tupac? Tupac's not on there?
I don't like Tupac.
Okay.
I actually like Tupac. I mean, I'm as I said, I'm the last person you need to be asking about rap albums, but I don't mind Tupac.
I only like I Get Around. Hey, what's up, Scott?
Hey, Scott.
I'm doing good. So that's up there at Fred Toucher. Gonna try to get this cameo situation.
Good luck not being.
By the way, I handed a mailman letters. I handed it to him, and they have not reached their destination. It's been over a week.
Really?
And these are bills. My goodness gracious.
Yeah, the mail was jacked up here for a while, but it's back to kind of normal. But for a while, it was really, really messed up.
Well, they got those tourists out of town. Now it's just you locals.
You and the sea.
That's right. Me and the sea. Me and the sweet, salty sea with no fish in it.
Just you and the locals.
The street continues?
Street continues.
Keep to leave tomorrow at 8 o'clock. We'll have them on tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning. That'll do it for us. Bye.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150. Win or lose, bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months.
Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.